Good, good. Hallelujah. Lord, we just lift your word to you, and I just pray there will be a blessing, Lord, and a help, and an encouragement and a challenge, Lord. So we just lift it before you and pray that you would have your way, Lord. Despite the speaker, you'd have your way through your word for your purposes. Amen. 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 We've just been looking, actually, at the YMCA and the homeless, and you will be aware that a lot of people that are on the streets do struggle in certain mental health areas. That's quite significant amongst them. And I spoke last time on mental health, and I want to carry on really in that theme this morning, if that's okay with you. Amen. And can I say that at the start, I'm obviously not an expert or a professional in this field, and my approach is purely a biblical one, though I have read, you know, a few books on the subject. And I'm not saying, as my disclaimer, if you like, in this talk that we don't use medication or we seek therapy at times. You know, I'm not qualified to make that call. And there are conditions and disorders that need professional help, just as we would go and see a doctor or a GP for various physical complaints. Okay? What I am saying is that the Bible has something to say on mental health generally. And scripture is relevant, isn't it, to the issues of today as much as the issues faced over the centuries and in the First Testament church. It's God's living word, isn't it? And it's truth, isn't it, to our souls. And I shared with you last time the tragic case of a young 30-year-old associate pastor. And he was in a church of about 15,000, one of these mega churches in the States. And this was fairly recent. And he took his life due to mental health issues. And he was 30 years of age. And on the face of it, he had it all, really. He had a wife, two children, a successful ministry, by all accounts. But, of course, in the area of his mind, his hidden thoughts, his private times, what was going on in his thoughts, there was a struggle, obviously a struggle and a battle that was taking place in this young man, which he ultimately lost. And I'm thankful, really, that Nikki shared from her experience a little bit last time. And, you know, if I was honest with you, the last, and I know I have touched on this before, but the last 2 years of my life have been the most traumatic in the area of my mind, actually, and my thought life, if you like. And, you know, I stand before you in brokenness, in all honesty, and relying daily on the grace of God to take me through each day. And for me, it's been a slow and difficult process to understand and implement certain biblical truths that have helped me function as I should do. So it's been, to coin a phrase, a journey for me, really, and that's why I've read so much and looked into Scripture so much on this subject. So I'm not trying to preach or teach from a distance on this subject, because it became pertinent to me as something that I needed to try and get to grips with. And that, you know, and someone that's felt really and feels at times the anguish or the anxiety of mental health issues. And I remember walking the dog vividly two Christmases ago now, and I just remember just saying to God, I've lost everything, it's gone. And I give it all to you, and I felt that I would never preach again. I'm not sure whether I'd come to church again. And it got so bad that I didn't even at times think I want to leave the house again. So that's the kind of place that I'd managed to, and it wasn't depression either, it was just certain issues that I was going through. So I come from that standpoint, so I'm not preaching at you in that respect. Just to touch on a couple of things, set the scene really, I touched on last time, and this 1 in 4 actually suffer with some form of mental illness during their lives, and we know it makes no distinction between Christian and non-Christian. And I would suggest that we're all on the scale of mental issues somewhere along that line. We're all broken people, all of us. We're physically deteriorating, genetically faulty, emotionally and mentally we're unstable, all because of what happened at the fall. When Adam and Eve fell into sin, everything became tainted, broken and sinful, including not just our bodies, but of course, our minds as well. And one day, praise God, we will receive our full salvation, perfect in body and mind, no more tears or pain. But now we have to navigate this life, don't we, with its ups and downs and this faulty minds that we have. It's indiscriminate of age, intellect, race, gender, and it manifests in many different ways. And I read that there's over 300 different mental disorders that have been diagnosed. And last time I shared just one simple principle, which eventually drew out the life of Joseph, that God is in control. And when we relinquish the struggle to be in control and attempting to manipulate our lives and our circumstances and allow God to be God, then we can move into a peace and rest that often eludes us in actual fact, because we do want to regain control of our lives and we do want to live our lives the way that we see fit. And you know, we're Christians and we need to give our lives to God and believe that He has our lives in His hands. And if you want to hear that talk, it's on the website, I think. So my text for today is a familiar one, and one I hope that will help us. And it's Romans 12:2. You know it well. Do not be conformed to this world, says Paul, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And we have to remember, of course, that these verses were written to believers, not unbelievers in Rome. It's written to believers, it's written to you, it's written to me. Your mind, my mind, needs renewing. That's a fact. We know through personal experience and of encounters with other people who are stuck in old mindsets that the renewal of the mind does not happen simultaneously at salvation. It's a process, it's a journey, a walk we must embark on with God the Holy Spirit and with His Word, and we must embark upon that journey of being transformed by the renewing of our mind. Transformation happens in our lives. Living a Christ-like life, being like Jesus, when and only when our minds are being renewed. If we look at the verse again, it says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're transformed by the renewing of the mind. Becoming like Jesus happens, in that sense, in our minds first. We have a thought before there is a word, or an action, or a deed. Marcus Aurelius, he's a worldly philosopher, understood the power of our thoughts when he said this: our life is what our thoughts make it. So what is this renewing of the mind, and how does it help with mental health, our own mental health? You see, before salvation, our minds are darkened and they're confused and they're given over and enslaved to every sinful thought and impulse. If you go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, it brings it out quite clearly. And he says this, Paul, talking to the Ephesians, he says, I tell you this and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do in the futility, that means in the emptiness and the depravity of their thinking. They are darkened in their understanding, separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. Having lost all sensitivity, they've given themselves over to sensuality and to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. And then he goes on in verse 20 to the Christian. That, however, is not the way of life you have learned. When you heard about Christ and were taught in him, accordance with the truth that is in Jesus, you were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by its deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. To be made new in the attitude of your minds, in your mind. You see, when we come to Jesus, we are born again, we have the new nature of God imparted to us, and our minds, if you like, become enlightened. It says in 2 Corinthians 5, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. When we are saved, we are instantly made clean, instantly made holy before God. We're justified. We're new creatures in Him. But there is also this work of what theologians call progressive sanctification. So though we are made whole and we're born again, there is also a work of holiness. And we learn to walk in this new nature of Christ through the Holy Spirit and not in our old sinful nature, which, as we know, is still very much a part of us. This new life, this sanctified life, this holy life, this life of the fruits of the Spirit, peace, love, joy, etc., all happens where? It happens in our mind, in our inner man, or our hearts. The term heart actually occurs over 1,000 times in the Bible, making it the most common anthropological, which is a posh word, but I wanted to say it anyway, as a posh word, which basically means relating to man. So it's the most common anthropological term in Scripture. And the heart denotes a person's centre for both physical, emotional, intellectual, moral activities, the inner man, if you like. And for the purpose of my talk, I'm using heart or mind or even inner man as the same thing. It denotes the real you, the part of you that thinks, the part of you that makes decisions, the part of you that chooses, wills to do what you want to do. So everything we experience, say, do, think, happens first in the inner man, the heart, in our minds. When Eve was tempted, it was first processed and decided in a thought life, wasn't it, before the action took place. So our mind is key. We cannot neglect our thought life. And our mind is the open battlefield. It's open to two enemies in particular. Our old nature, which as we've seen, I'm not going to go into it in depth, is still very much with us. And the devil that competes against this new nature that we now have in God and that we're trying to walk into. So we have, the mind is a battlefield for the Christian. The sinful nature and this battle that we have with it is seen plainly actually in Galatians. And I'll just read one verse to you, Galatians 5:17. It just shows you how warlike this old nature is. And it says this, the sinful nature wants to do evil. That old nature of yours wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you're not free to carry out your good intentions. So we have this battle in our minds, actually, continually. And the devil was also seen clearly battling the Christian in his mind. That's why Paul encourages us in Ephesians 6 to put on the full armour of God. And what do we put on? The helmet of salvation. And we know the battle is not a physical one, it's a spiritual one, isn't it, in heavenly places. But it's in the area of the mind that the devil has free course. He can't read our minds. He can't make us do anything, but he can influence and he can put thoughts into our minds. So there's a lot going on, really, isn't there? But this really is a key, I think. It's an important key. We are not bound or enslaved as we once were to either of these enemies. Because as we heard this morning, we've been set free. When we're born again, when we're enlightened, when we're saved, we've been set free. It says in Romans 6, when he died once to break the power of sin. That sin, the power of sin has been broken. But now that he lives for the glory of God. So you also should consider yourselves to be dead to the power of sin, but alive to God. Do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to the sinful desires. And the 6:18, having been set free from sin, you now become slaves of righteousness. So we are not or should not be held captive by our thoughts. or by our thinking, because we've been set free through the victory in Calvary. Satan has no authority over the mind of the Christian. He has no authority over our lives. The old nature has no power to insist that we think or act in certain ways. The devil cannot bind us unless we allow him to. That's another talk, but we can allow the enemy to bind and have strongholds in our life. But I think this is a common mistake that we can often make. We think that God would just take over our thinking or influence our thoughts, and we will just know this peace and victory. We're a Christian, we got saved, we got a new nature. God's just going to come in, take over, and we're going to live a happy life and know peace. But it doesn't work like that. God has given us autonomy over our minds. We choose, we will, we think as we like. God has freed us to make choices. That's why the Bible encourages and commands us to walk in the Spirit. You have the choice. Walk in the Spirit, and then you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you don't have to, set your mind on these things. We have choice now. Set your mind on these good things. Resist the devil. You choose to resist the devil and he will flee. You can be aware of his schemes. We have the power of choice now. Within our control, we have the power of choice because Jesus has set us free from the power of the enemy and the old nature to choose. We are encouraged, aren't we, to take captive every thought, make it obedient to Christ, to bring down strongholds and arguments that set themselves up against God. That brings me back really to the text. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Oh, that it would just all happen at salvation and we would just know, be walking in the fruits of the Spirit and the peace and the joy and know that total victory. But as believers, our minds need renewing or renovating. Actually, I think the Greek explains it that way. And many, not all, but many of the mental health issues we face are because we've neglected. We neglect to renew our minds. Another worldly philosopher said this, and this is Socrates. He said, the unexamined life is a life not worth living. Now, did you know we have the power to examine our thoughts? We have the capacity to look on at what we're thinking about. We can examine our thought lives, what we're thinking about. What does our thought life look like? What does your thought life look like? You know, we are freed and transformed or changed to a godly way of thinking and acting by the renewing of our thought life. Proverbs 23:7, that as he thinks in his heart, so is he. Jesus talking to the Pharisees, for out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. What we say has already been gelling in our hearts. It's already thought about. It's already been there, if you like. If we're struggling with issues mentally, then it may well be that our minds still need a work in renewing. Not that our minds will ever be totally renewed, this side of glory anyway. Let me just give you a sciencey bit. Did you know you can literally rewire your brain? 30 years ago, science believed that once we reached the age of puberty, or certainly 18, that our brain was pretty much formed and wouldn't change. The changes that would occur would only be negative ones and the loss of brain cells as we get older. So that's what they believe. But it turns out this science was wrong. And neuroscience has now discovered something called neuroplasticity. And I know this might sound a bit boring to you, but I found this really encouraging and exciting. Neuroscientists have discovered that we can literally rewire our brains. We can physically grow new neural pathways in our brain. Science has proven what the Bible said all along, that we can actually renew our minds, renew the way that we think. We are told that to create a new neural pathway, which in layman's terms is a new thought process, that we need to think this way for not a fleeting moment or just a couple of days, but for at least a good few months before this path becomes connected and established. And I'll just give you an example. If you were to endeavour to learn to play a musical instrument, after the first lesson, there would be like a short-term buzz of learning something new, which is essentially a chemical reaction in the brain, but it would not last. And if you had no further lessons, you would soon forget the little that you'd actually learnt. If, however, you embark on lessons daily for months, then eventually you would learn to play an instrument to a degree and would not forget, certainly in the short to medium term, what you have learned, because you have developed a new thought process, a new neural pathway. We have different learning styles. Some learn quicker than others. But either way, we still need to put in the work over duration to see change. It's not instant. And spiritually, it's not so different. I'm not giving you a quick fix answer. If we want to see renewal in our minds, we have to start thinking differently, obviously. But it's not just for a day because you heard a good sermon or you read a good book, but it's daily and it's over time. It's not a quick fix solution. And then we've all been in situations, and not me more than most, you hear a fantastic word and it's thrilled you and it's going to be life-changing. The funny thing is, by about Wednesday or Thursday, it's not quite as life-changing as you thought because you have not carried on with that. We have to start thinking differently for a duration until we start to develop lasting thought processes. So what are these new thoughts, this new way of thinking? Let me ask you first. Now, what are we feeding our thinking? What are we feeding our thinking to think the way we do at present? What do we feed on? You know, if we sit through hours of junk TV, read junk books, spend our time talking only pleasantries, then it's no wonder that our thought life turns out to be slightly chaotic. If we're rushing around, never spending time, centering down, taking time, pondering the things of God, then we're heading for trouble. Do we spend only 10 minutes in the Bible every day? 2 hours on a Sunday, maybe, and then we wonder why we're not transformed. But why am I struggling in these areas? We know physically that if we continually binge on junk food and we don't eat healthy foods, our health will eventually suffer. It's the same spiritually and mentally, what's natural and spiritual, isn't it? Our minds need renewing with the Word of God. It's not a big answer, is it? I've got there in a convoluted way. But our minds need renewing with the Word of God and with Christian fellowship and with teaching and with personal study and learning to walk in the voice of the Holy Spirit. Our minds need to be fixed on healthy thoughts. And you know the scripture so well in Philippians 4:8. And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true. Again, it's the power of choice, isn't it? Fix your thoughts on what is true, what is honourable, what is right, what is pure, what is lovely, what is admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise. And I thought this was significant in verse 9. Keep putting into practice. It's not a once-off. Keep putting into practice. Spiritually, it's going to aid you. Physically, you're going to grow new neural pathways. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you've heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And isn't that what we want? Isn't that what the troubled mind want? We want peace. We want to be experiencing and walking in the fruits of the Spirit. I know right at the beginning in the book of Psalms, we have Psalm 1. We don't know who wrote it, but this psalm, it sets the scene for the whole of the book of Psalms. And it's only a few verses long. And he says this, and it just blessed me, and he says this, "Oh, the joys of those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or stand around with sinners, or join in with mockers," that's the negative, "but they delight in the law of the Lord, meditating," it means to ponder, "on it day and night. Their minds are fixed on the word of God. They are like trees planted along the riverbank, bearing fruit each season. Their leaves never wither, and they prosper in all they do." I like this. We ponder, not let our minds wander. On the word of God, day and night, and then we will bear fruit. You know, you can make scripture as complicated or as simple as you want, can't you? We ponder and meditate on the word of God day and night. And as we set our minds on right thinking consistently, daily, over time, then we start to see fruit. And I'm not saying there's not a place for coming up and being prayed for and being released, and praise God for that. But I would say, in my experience, the normal experience is one of consistency, week in, week out. And we see that victory taking place and a certain free happening. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart, your inner self, your mind, your thought life. Guard your heart above all else." Above all else. It determines the course of your life. It's serious stuff, isn't it? You know, there's many, many scriptures that I could bring to you this morning. Psalm 119 is full of them, isn't there, concerning the word and the importance of focusing our minds on right thinking and avoiding toxic thinking. Because we have to remember the same principles for building healthy, godly thought patterns also apply to toxic, sinful thought patterns. Stands to reason, doesn't it? If we gorge on light entertainment, we will become shallow. Because we were designed, actually, for deep thinking. And we can think a lot deeper than we realise. And we've lost the art in some respects. Because we're so busy and so sound bites and so snippets on the internet. Our minds are designed for deep thinking, for pondering, for meditating. If we gorge on sex, then we would become addicted to sex. If we gorge on making money, or whatever it might be, we become obsessed with the money. We are what we think. Marcus Aurelius was insightful when he said, "Our life is what our thoughts make it." And bringing it back, really, to mental health issues. We do not have to be prisoners of faulty thought processes that have plagued and imprisoned many people for years. We have been set free. We have the power, if you like, of choice. We have set free, but we still have to put in the work to possess that victory, if you like. We have to put in the hard yards, so to speak. And it's a decision in our will to decide to change the way we think and putting in certain practices in our daily lives. We have to take the truth of the word of God and exchange it for the lies that we've been telling ourselves for many, many years. If your thoughts are telling you to be anxious, to be afraid, that you're unloved, that you're useless, you'll never be free, that you'll always panic, then it's a lie. It's a lie. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds. Matthew 6:25, I tell you, do not worry about everyday life, whether you have enough food or drink or enough clothes to wear. Aren't you far more valuable to him than all these? Do not be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a whole flock of sparrows. You know, find verses and passages and memorize them. Ask God to quicken to you particular verses. Ponder on them. Bring them before God daily. Bring them to God when you feel under attack. And with perseverance and consistency, you will start to see results and victories starting to happen in your life and in your thought life. You know, there's certain passages that God has given me and blessed me with, not too long passages, my memory's not that good, that I've memorized and I constantly bring in before the Lord in situations where I'm starting to feel a bit anxious. And if I keep believing them and keep quoting them and believing those, the word of God above the lies, because listen, your thoughts don't tell you the truth. The word of God is truth. The thought you think is not necessarily the truth. We need to replace that with the truth of the word of God. And eventually, our minds are changed and our thinking is renewed. And it's incrementally, I believe. I'm not saying that we don't get instant victories at the time, but mainly it's incrementally. It's not the dead letter, is it? But it's the living promises, the living word of God. The Bible is not a psychologist's handbook, but it does have the answers to life. Otherwise, what are we playing at? If God's got nothing to say on our mental life. And God and his word are inextricably joined. And this truth goes, it's not just a New Testament truth, it goes right through Scripture. I'm going to leave you with a passage in Deuteronomy, of all places. And it's God speaking to his people, but it brings out, I believe, the truth again of keeping the word of God before us. In Deuteronomy 11:18, God speaking to his people, he says, "So commit yourself wholeheartedly to these words of mine. Tie them to your hands. Wear them in your forehead as reminders." Remember, they're those little leather boxes, and they'd literally have it, and still do, I'm sure, on their arm and on their head. Why? They weren't literally supposed to do that in the New Testament. It's basically saying we need to have the Word of God in our minds with us constantly if we want to be renewed in our lives, if we want to get victory. If it's 10 minutes a day, a couple of hours on a Sunday, and the rest of the time you're watching EastEnders, don't be surprised that we're not transformed. Don't be surprised that we're having mental issues. Teach them to your children. Thank God that's what's happening now, isn't it? Talk about them when you're at home and when you're on the road, when you go to bed, when you're getting up. It's constantly, isn't it, talking and looking at the word of God. Write them on the doorposts of your house and your gates, so that as long as the sky remains above the earth, you and your children may flourish in the land he swore to give to your ancestors. We want to flourish, don't we? Be careful to obey all the commands I'm giving you. Show love to the Lord your God by walking in his ways and holding tightly to him. Then the Lord will drive out the nations ahead of you. Spiritually speaking, the strongholds, the mental issues, he would drive them out because they are much greater and stronger than you, and you will take over their land. Wherever you set your foot, the land will be yours. Your frontiers will stretch from the wilderness in the south to Lebanon in the west, in the north, and from the Euphrates River to the east of the Mediterranean Sea in the west. No one will be able to stand against you, for the Lord your God will cause the people to fear and dread you, as he promised, wherever you go in the land. You will be blessed if you obey the commands of the Lord that I am giving you today. But you will be cursed if you reject the commands of the Lord your God and turn away from him and worship gods you have not known before. That's quite strong, really, isn't it? If we take it over to our spiritual lives. So we have the power of choice. But we can walk in a freedom and a victory and a renewal of our minds if we so choose. But we have to put in the hard yards. That's why Kate said to me, did you want to have some time for praying afterwards? I said, not today, because it's not about instant success. It's about putting in the principles of constantly bringing the Word of God into our lives and thinking a new thought process. Lord, we just bless you for your Word. We thank you, Lord, that it's intensely practical, Lord. And Lord, we want to be renewed in our minds, and we want to walk in the fruits of the Spirit, Lord. And we want to reveal you, Lord, in our thought life and the way we act, Lord. So I just pray that your Word will find a lodging place in all of our hearts, Lord. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for setting us free. Thank you, Lord, that you've broken the chains. We thank you, Lord, that you have saved and loved us. In your precious name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.